know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from Studio B, Monroeville, Bowser Chevy today. We bring you Pomp and Joe. I believe Pomp rejoins the fray on Thursday. In the meantime, the Pirates just keep losing and losing and losing and losing and losing. Is it 23 or 24 games in a row without hitting five runs limits?
It's 24 now, Joe.
I think I was watching the FS1 broadcast last night. They said the last team to do that was the 71 Brewers. Am I right about that?
Yes, it has been since 1971. Brewers were, what, in the American League then?
So what's the record? Do you know?
Not off the top of my head, no, and I'm not going to succumb to Malmsey disease.
I didn't ask off the top of your head, but it has to have been out there. Perhaps our next guest knows. Widely known as simply the Noah Constrictor, Noah Hiles from the Post-Gazette is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Noah Constrictor, do you know that off the top of your head, or have you researched it? What's the record here? All time, most games in a row, not scoring five runs.
I have it written down somewhere in my notebook. I do not know it off the top of my head. I apologize for not being able to say it off the top of my head, but I don't know the answer to it. But it feels like they're approaching it because I don't see this changing anytime soon.
All right. Speaking of that, why is Tommy Pham still here?
I think the easiest answer is they're trying to get him going to trade him. That's the only incentive that would even make sense at this point. They want to get him playing to a point where they can just offload him and not have to take all of his salary, just to get his money off the books and to maybe get a prospect in return or cash considerations.
Mm. Okay, then why is Adam Frazier still here?
I mean, who else is going to play second base right now?
You.
I mean, Nick. I would love to, but
at least you could lay down. At least you could lay down a sacrifice bunt.
Now, to be fair, Frazier's been probably their second best infield defender behind Hayes this season, and I don't think Pham is the bigger question mark to me because they brought him in to be an everyday player. I never understood that decision when it happened, and it's showing why. I wasn't the only one that thought that. Frazier wasn't supposed to be playing this much. He's just playing this much because the guy who starts at his position ahead of him was injured.
Don't they have 19 other second basemen they could use? Can't Triolo play second base? Can't
he's hitting the ball
IKF
better than all
play
those
second
guys.
Base? What?
They don't have. Adam Frazier's hitting the ball better than Jared Triolo.
He's hitting .217 with a .287 on base percentage.
What's Jared Triolo's number?
Well, you're right about that. You're right about that.
They're not that. And that's the thing. And he's played just as good of defense. I mean, Triolo probably could play the position better defensively. But, I mean, he's a better offensive option than the other guys they would go with. I mean, he's a better hitter than Leover Figuero.
No. To be fair to me, he's not an offensive option at all. He's hitting .163 in May. He has no power. And he can't lay down a sacrifice bunt. Anyway, how are you, Noah? Everything going well over there?
as well as it can be going, Joe.
What about Ben Cherington? I opened the show today saying Bob Dunning's rationale when he fired Shelty, especially when he talked to Jason Mackey, was basically, you know, this season's not dead and maybe the new manager can spark us and everything's still sort of on track then. Well, it's been as bad or worse under Kelly. Winning percentage is .300, which is below the season winning percentage. It wasn't the manager. Is there any chance that Cherington will get fired before the draft?
I don't see that happening. No. I think maybe after the draft, maybe after the deadline, there's a realistic possibility that happens. But yeah, I don't see that happening before the draft.
How realistic would it be if you got rid of your GM to bring in somebody new, or to have one of his lieutenants run your draft?
I mean, it's happened before. It doesn't happen often, but, and I think that that's the reasoning behind why you can't fire him for the draft. It's because you're still having the same people essentially make those same decisions. Like, if they were to promote one of his assistant GMs as an interim, which you pretty much have to do, they're going to operate in a very similar manner. So I think that that's why you don't see him lose his job before the draft. And even the deadline, like, if he's not there for the deadline, the interim GM isn't going to have, you would assume, have any big freedom to make aggressive moves. They want to save their bigger assets that could be traded, guys like Keller, Reynolds. Not suggesting that they're on the trade block right now, but you would want to save those assets for the next guy who gets the job, or girl, whoever. But yeah, so I think that you can't make the change during those time periods, because it would be the same set of moves being made even if Charrington's gone.
Well, I would still take a chance on under the theory of anybody but him. He's the last guy, I think, on earth right now that I'd want making a big deal or making my first round pick. So, sure, the same philosophies, and maybe guys he hired, I don't know. There must be at least one or two holdovers from the Huntington regime. I would just want anybody but him. Plus, I think at some point, as we continue to watch this lineup every single day, there has to be accountability here. He should have fired Charrington with Shelton. Would you agree?
I think it would have made sense. But, I mean, I didn't understand the logic behind Nutting when he said that he was still trying to get salvage this season. I didn't understand that. Because if you look at the position the Pirates were in when at the time of Shelton's firing, I personally viewed them to be in a hole too big to climb out of. I think at its absolute best, this roster can play 5 to 6 games over 500. At that point in time, they were, I believe, 14 games under 500. So even if it played to its maximum potential, and maybe even above that, they at best might be able to get back to 500. So what are you really fighting for? You're not fighting for anything relevant. You're not even really in a position to play meaningful baseball. You'd have to play at like a 100-win pace, and this roster just doesn't have that capability. So with that being said, I didn't understand the process of, oh, we're just a manager away from fixing this.
Right.
I would have made the move with the intention of, it's time to plan for 2026. And if you're taking that stance, I think it could be very well argued that Ben Charrington might not deserve to be here in 2026.
Limits, I wouldn't even dream of leaving you out of this conversation. Do you have a question for the Noah Constrictor?
I do. Noah, I'm curious just about O'Neill Cruz, health-wise, what you've seen from him in the last week plus, and is there any concern surrounding him right now?
I wasn't with the team on the East Coast, so I've only seen him yesterday. I don't think there's anything huge of a concern, and to be honest, if he is banged up at this point, like, is it really worth trotting him out there when he's not at 100% to potentially make it worse and make this another recurring thing that you have to worry about? I think they're at a point now where it's like you shouldn't be playing if you're not at 100%, because let's call a spade a spade. This season's pretty much done. It's over. So you need to start thinking long term, and playing O'Neill Cruz when there's a potential that he could further injure something and take away his value down the line when this team might actually be competitive, I don't think is a smart move. So he shouldn't be in the lineup unless if he's at 100%.
Noah Hiles of the Post-Gazette on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. When are we going to see Bubba Chandler, and does what you just said factor into that the season's done?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe part of it is playing a factor in that, where if you're looking long term, maybe it's best for everyone to keep Chandler down until June or something. But at the same time, I don't know if that's a great message to send to your organization. And I also don't think that's the best message to send to Bubba Chandler, who through 16 starts now in AAA, combining last year and this year, has a 2 earned run average. I mean, he's clearly capable of doing this at the highest level. He stretched out to go 86 pitches in a game. That's around where Steens was at when they promoted him. I think it would make a lot of sense if they were to promote him in the next couple of days so he could pitch this weekend at PNC Park. It would give them an opportunity to get him in town, talk to the media before his start day. I think a lot of that would make sense. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I would have to imagine his time is coming soon because I don't know what else there is for him to prove at this level.
Limits, you're up.
All right, Noah, what do you make of Key Brian Hayes? We saw him and the broadcast was talking about it on a ground ball to the right side, not really hustling with it out of the box. We heard Donnie Kelly say that he was going to do more in terms of accountability and just the approach that he had with players. What is something what does Donnie Kelly mean by that? And would part of that be benching Key Brian Hayes for today for something like that?
I mean, maybe. I think that Don Kelly's biggest challenge is finding a way to motivate these guys to play hard. Because, as I've said numerous times, this season is pretty much over, but they've got 114 games remaining. So you've got to figure out a way for this not to go to waste, to find some sort of silver lining to get the most out of every individual. And part of that starts with motivating them individually, saying, here's why you need to come in and play at your absolute best. If you want out of here, that's how you get out of here. If you want more playing time here, that's how you get it. If you want to, you know, meet some performance incentive bonuses, then that's how you do it. And then through all that, he's got to figure out a way to collectively motivate the group to play together for some reason. Typically, the motivation for that is playing well enough to get to the postseason. That's off the table right now. So you've got to find another way for these guys to buy in and play together. And that's the challenge that Don Kelly's going to face for the remainder of the season, is on days like today, where they were blown out in their home ballpark on a Monday night by the Reds, how do you show up the next day and shake that off and just go out and try to play hungry baseball, aggressive baseball, because that's what he's looking for?
I guess respectfully, I would say, Noah, that if there's a single person in there that needs Don Kelly to motivate them to play their best, they should already be gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. That's a fair thing to say.
And if especially the younger guys who are flailing away here, trying to, make a living in the majors, they certainly wouldn't need it. So, you know, maybe somebody like Tommy Pham, somebody like that. I don't know why the guy's still here. Honest to God, I don't know why he's here. It's incredible to me they haven't DFA'd him. What is the point of playing him one more time over a young guy? And are there any young guys, by the way, in AAA who should or could be called up?
I mean, we have this conversation every single year about a player in Tommy Pham's situation. We had it with Austin Hedges. We had it with Rowdy Tellez. We had it with Michael A. Taylor. And this year, it's Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier. It's every single year, it feels like. We're having this conversation where it's, why is this guy who's clearly past his prime, hanging on to dear life as a professional baseball player, why is he taking playing time away from people who are younger, have potentially more of an impact on the future of this team, and who might just be better right now? Why is he doing that? It's because they signed him to a contract that is higher paid than pretty much everyone on the team, and they don't want to just eat that money. They want to get that money off the books, and they hope to get something in return, be it compensation financially or a very, very, very low-level prospect that they maybe can turn into a big leaguer 7 years from now. That's the answer on that front. As far as replacements, I mean, we've seen the guys who would probably take the bulk of that playing time in left field. I think it would be Gorski, who just got optioned down, or I think it would be Alexander Canario, who, to his credit, has been probably one of their best hitters this month. That's not saying much, but he's been better as far as making contact and getting on base consistently. So I think those two guys would be two people you'd look at. Nick York eventually will be up here. Left field could be a spot for him to get some reps. Maybe they give Nick Solak some more opportunities, although he's 30 years old, so I don't know what future he has in this organization. But the real answer is they don't have a true difference maker that's going to come up and bat in this lineup. They have guys who might be better than Adam Frazier and Tommy Pham, but they don't have someone who it's like, this is going to make a true difference in the lineup, someone who's going to be feared by opposing pitchers. Not this year. I don't see anyone, especially in the outfield, I don't see anyone. The guys who would be taking Tommy Pham's playing time are players that we've mostly seen this year.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Noah, do you think Colin Holderman's a lost cause in the bullpen? I mean, his ERA's up to 9. He just kind of seems lost out there at times.
I don't want to call him a lost cause. I don't know if it'll ever be figured out here in Pittsburgh. I wouldn't be shocked if Colin Holderman were to go somewhere else and a change of scenery might get him on the right track. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't understand why they haven't really seriously considered taking a similar approach to what they did with David Bednar, who I know he allowed a couple of runs last night, has been much better since returning from AAA on April 19th. Holderman has minor league options. He's able to go down and come back up. You won't have to DFA him or do anything. I don't understand why they haven't taken that approach, because I think he's dealing with similar things to Bednar, where it's just the command isn't there, the confidence isn't there. And this was a guy where, at this time last year, he was their best reliever by a long, long, long margin. And now he's a bit of a liability out there. So I don't understand why they wouldn't send him down to AAA and get him some repetition in less stressful situations. They saw what it did for Bednar, who was in a very similar spot. Why not take that same course of action, especially now where, again, the season's pretty much over. So why not think long-term with a guy who has remaining years of control?
All right, Noah Constrictor, I'll leave you with this one. You interact with Pirate fans as much as anybody in our city. You have your Q&As, you're at the ballpark, you're on the road. I'm sure you talk to bunches of Pirate fans on the road in person. There seems to be a narrative out there right now that fans would be perfectly fine and even supportive of the idea of trading Paul Skeens, almost like for his sake. To me, that is just patently ridiculous. And if I were a fan, I would be railing against that idea. I want him here. He's one of the greatest young pitchers ever in baseball. I want him as a Pirate if I'm a Pirate fan. And I want a new GM building around him. But what's the vibe that you get out there? Do you get the idea that people would be, yeah, get him out of here for his sake. That'd be great.
I think the vibe is more people are starting to feel that they are not going to make the postseason during Skeens' time in Pittsburgh. I don't think they have enough faith in the current front office, or even if those people are relieved of their duties, they don't have enough faith in ownership to replace those positions with people who are good enough to get this team to the playoffs. Or even if they are better decision makers than the people currently in office, they're not going to have the resources, or at least that's what's felt, that, you know, this isn't just a player or two away type of a situation, which is being labeled as by the team. It seems like it's a little bit deeper of an issue than that. And the only way you're going to get those one or two players that could really take this team to the next level is spending an amount of money that it doesn't seem like they're going to be willing to do. So with that frame of mind and that really harsh reality that some people are already believing is that, you know, Skeens isn't going to be able to take the Pirates to the playoffs because of the surroundings in this org. The only way to right this ship, as tough as it is some people believe, is to trade him. I don't think they're there just yet, personally. I think it's a given that they're eventually going to trade this guy.
Would people cheer the idea right now? Pirate fans, a lot of them, idea of trading Skeens?
I don't think so, not right now. I mean, it would depend on the return. If they were to get, say, you know, two top 10 prospects in baseball and one or two proven stud players, if they could get three everyday players in the lineup in exchange for Paul Skeens, and two of those players had as much club control as he did, maybe that might be a little easier to stomach. But no, I think people would be very upset to see him go right now.
No, I appreciate the time, man. We'll talk soon. Good luck out there.
I'll keep trying my best. Thanks, Joe.
What a wonderful man he is, huh, Limits?
He's one of the best. The Noah Constrictor, always bringing it.
Listen, I think trading Paul Skeens would absolutely be the last straw for a lot of people. I think that there is a false narrative out there among some media, among some fans that I see, like, oh, get this guy out of here for his sake. Yeah, that'd be great. You'd cheer that? Every place I go in town, I told you, a couple of the rally houses, that Paul Skeens jerseys sell more than T.J. Watt or Sid right now. People love this guy. And the idea of, oh, yeah, let's get rid of Skeens for his sake. Get him out of here because he's stuck with the Pirates. I'd cheer that on. Limits, that's insane to me. You're a Pirate fan. How would you feel if Skeens got traded, no matter the return?
Hell no. I don't want to see him traded right now. No, I mean, I know that it's ultimately inevitable, but that doesn't mean that I want to see it happen now. I want to be able to savor this guy for as long as we have him, knowing that he's going to be a all-time great in the sport, somebody that's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer if he continues this. Yes. I don't want to say that, you know, we had a brief little one-year thing with Paul Skeens and then ultimately decided, well, we might as well move on from him now. We're never going to be good with him. That's just a defeatist mentality to me.
Me too. And if I went out and asked people, I can guarantee you there would be outrage in the streets if they traded Paul Skeens, regardless of the return. But perhaps we could query the people, couldn't we, Limits?
Yes, we can.
412-928-9370. No matter the return, as a Pirate fan, what would be your reaction if Paul Skeens was traded now? And by the way, Pony, in a big surprise, mischaracterized what I said yesterday, Limits, when he said, Starkey said, there's no way that's happening, a trade of Paul Skeens. Well, that was in the context of, would the Pirates do it of their own volition? Clearly, that was the context. Later on, the topic switched to, well, what if Skeens asked for a trade? And my take was, I don't think fans would blame him. I don't think they'd blame him. It would be a very unusual situation in sports where it's almost always, if a guy asks to be traded, you know, he's pilloried. I think in this case, people would understand. That doesn't mean they would like it and they want to see him go. But the first part of that was simply me saying, there's no way the Pirates of their own volition would trade Paul Skeens. Do you remember that? Limits.
I do remember you saying that. Yes, it's not that they, it's not without the realm of possibility, obviously, but a little bit mischaracterized, Joe. Just a little bit.
Has Pony done that to you before?
Oh, no, no, not once. Not once, Joe.
So, the question on the table, if the Pirates traded Paul Skeens, if he asked for a trade, if it was on his doing, regardless of the circumstances of the trade, would you be cheering, saying, oh, yeah, good for him that he got out? Or would you still, even if he asked, would you want the Pirates to keep him? If I were a Pirate fan, that's a ridiculous question. He'd be my favorite player, and I would want them to keep him at all costs. And what I'd really want is a GM to build around him. And contrary to popular belief, I don't think it would take that long. if I've got a rotation that begins with Skeens, Chandler, Keller, veteran here, veteran there, maybe young other young guy comes up, I don't think it would take that much to make the Pirates at least relevant. I really don't.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Incredibly, I locked myself out of Studio B and had to go asking for the combination that gets me back in limit. So I almost didn't make it back in for the segment. Yeah.
Oh, that would have been very unfortunate.
Yeah, you would have had to take over. I love it out here. I'm watching NBA previews to the left on a giant TV, interacting with some of the customers here. Somebody came in just to tell me, hey, if the return was right, I'd consider trading Skeens, which I appreciated that the man stopped in to tell me that. I really did, to get his opinion. But this idea now that seems to be getting pushed that, oh, yeah, trade Skeens for his own sake. Get him out of here. I'll cheer that on as a Pirate fan. Good for you. You know, you got off the sinking ship. Go live your life. Be prosperous. Good luck out there. Hell no, if I'm a Pirate fan. I think that's absolutely ludicrous, that idea. I mean, would I listen to a trade? Of course. You know, everything's for sale. My house isn't for sale, but if somebody calls me and offers $1 million, guess what? My house is for sale. But that's different than actively cheering on the notion of Paul Skeens leaving. That's just ridiculous. It is. I was trying to think during the brief intermission of any examples from my own life. Of course there were. Buffalo teams never won when I was little. We had a guy named O.J. Simpson who went on to become one of the biggest scoundrels of the 20th century. But long before that, he was a generational player on a horrible team. So how did I look at that? Well, as a kid, through my kid's eyes, it was like, he's the only thing to root for. I want him on the team. You want to trade every single other guy, go ahead, but please keep him. He's the jersey I just got on Christmas. I mean, again, I think it is instructive to me when I'm out shopping for, you know, sports clothing, which I do often to soothe myself, mostly limits, to soothe my anxiety. I just got a new Duquesne hat, for example. And I've been in a couple of rally houses lately, and I asked the people at the counter, what sells more than anything in this joint? Unquestionably, by a million miles, it's Paul Skeens stuff. You can't tell me as a Pirate fan out there that you would cheer the idea of them trading him. You can't. I just don't believe it. I don't believe that. I believe that more of you think this is the one thing worth watching, and the last thing I would want to see is Paul Skeens out of here. And as far as rationales go, oh yeah, good for you that you got off the sinking ship. I don't buy that for 1 second. And again, I'll defer to you before we go to the calls. You are a lifelong Pirate fan. I grew up a Pirate fan, a diehard Pirate fan, but you are one. Right now, how would it is what I'm saying? How is it landing with you?
Yeah, and like I feel the same way about, you know, I worked in retail for a while. My guys at Definitely You sell the same thing. It's a ton of Skeens stuff, everything merchandise wise. And I would not trade him just for the sake of, sure, let's get him out of here for his own sake. Yeah, Paul Skeens deserves better. Like, was that the case with Barry Sanders with the Lions years ago? Like, there are a lot of examples of really good players that played on bad teams, but that's unfortunately the reality of sports. You know, you have to deal with it and do everything that you can in your power to try to change that. Now, clearly it hasn't worked well enough for Skeens right now, but no, that doesn't mean that you should just roll over and just say, yeah, Paul, you know, just for you, because we like you so much, we'll just throw you on another team and basically cut off our nose to spite our face. No.
Well, even if you get a big return, even if you get somebody's top three prospects.
That's not enough.
What is enough? Is there anything where you would say, oh, man, I'm glad they traded Paul Skeens? For me as a fan, there wouldn't be right now.
Right now, there's not, especially
if I were
with
a fan,
of control.
Yes, I'd be saying no. I don't want that. Trade everybody else, not him. But maybe we're wrong here, Limits.
I don't think we are. No, well, I don't. I know that there are some people that think that they should trade him right now, that I think it's just an emotional reaction right now because Skeens is such a adored figure here that they just kind of feel bad for him, which I understand.
In fact, I think if they traded him like right now or this offseason or even next deadline, no matter the return, it would be the most outraged response and broken response that we will have ever seen from Pirate fans. I would go that far. By the time McCutchen got traded, he was a lesser player. The team was losing. It was sort of the end of an era. I don't even know that I remember it. I was there for what we thought was going to be his last game and was until he came back here against San Francisco. It just wasn't that big of a deal. Like, some people were mad. They were mad when they traded Neil Walker, for sure. Aramis Ramirez might have been the biggest outrage. All of those combined would pale to the reaction if they traded Paul Skeens. And I don't give a crap what the return would be, at least in relation to what the reaction would be. You could trade him for somebody's top five prospects and a good major leaguer, and people would be more outraged than they've ever been. And they've basically been outraged for 50 years, minus a few years. Let's go to the phones.
All righty. Let's go to David in Virginia to start us off.
Hello, David.
Hey, guys. I'm a frustrated Pirates fan, season ticket holder for a lot of years, and this will be my last year because I just can't stand it anymore. Just a couple of very brief thoughts, then one bigger point. The first thought is, I just don't understand how they can be willing to embarrass themselves through the silence, how they can put this charade on the field every night and literally wake up in the morning and look themselves in the mirror. It's such a joke. I just can't believe the embarrassment factor alone doesn't evoke some sort of change. My second comment is, I know it doesn't happen very often, but MLB has stepped in occasionally. And I don't know what it would take for MLB to come at the netting and say, something's got to change. But this is a historic franchise. It's a proven fan base, and you are absolutely destroying a valuable a property in MLB. So I wish MLB could come in. My third comment and bigger comment is, you know, we watch Starling Marte, we watch Gregory Polanco, we watch all these guys. You know who the biggest flop right now is, unbelievably, is Cruz. The guy can't hit the ball, he can't play the outfield. But we get these players, and it's like, who in the heck is destroying these prospects when they get in on a Pirates uniform? I cannot believe watching Cruz now. If he catches a ball, if he puts bat on ball, that's one thing. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen nearly enough. He strikes out way too much. He's not a very good outfielder. He's not smart in the outfield. What in the world? Again, we all know the Pirates' development has failed terribly. But when I looked at that outfield, when I think of Marte, Polanco, and now Cruz,
I appreciate it. Well, I don't think Marte is an indictment at all. I think he was an excellent Pirate. There are indictments all over the place of their inability to identify talent and or develop it. We could go on for 3 days, but Marte's not one. And I'm not even sure Polanco's one in the opposite direction. Could anybody have developed him into a baseball player? He didn't seem to know how to play baseball. Now, maybe he should have stayed down longer, but then we all would have been crying, why isn't he up here? He's a confounding case, too, because when he came up, he hit the hell out of the ball and then just fell off the map forever. Cruz, if you would have asked me a week ago, I would have said, I think is on a pretty good track this year. His OPS was over. It was like 830. He already had 8 homers. I think he's still on track for how many home runs? Oh, Limitless one.
There's a really good chance he has a 30-30 year.
So I'm not sure. Now, the last two games have been a disaster. I agree with that. His OPS has gone down 30 points in the last two games, and he struck out 7 of 8 his last two games. He didn't play yesterday. So I wonder if he's hurt right now. I'm still holding out hope that this could actually be his breakthrough year. But yes, the larger question of development. But we're talking about Skeens. Next, Limits.
Here's Jim in Cranberry.
Hello, Jim.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call. So I think you are grossly underestimating how much this city hates the management and ownership team. And honestly, as much as I enjoy...
In what way am I underestimating that?
Because you're talking about no one in their right mind would say to go ahead and trade Skeens. I'm not advocating for that, but I'm saying if I'm Paul Skeens, first I'm telling Livy Dunn, keep your bags packed, because I'm going in and I'm having a conversation and say, get some of these nameless gray faces from around me out of here and some talent in here, or get rid of me. You are wasting
that's a very different conversation. That's way different than a fan cheering Paul Skeens getting traded. That's the topic.
Oh, yeah. To cheer the man being traded would be ridiculous. But I think that that's the kind of things that it's going to take is players like him to make a difference with the ownership group. Not what the fans are going to do. Cap definitely would help as well. But the hillbilly millionaire just continues to make his money.
Well, I'll say this. If Paul Skeens demanded a trade, it would be one of the biggest pirate stories of all time. I will definitely say that. And it could change the dynamic a little bit around here. I don't know how, but man, if Skeens were to stand up and say, I want out, then everything we're talking about changes. But in the meantime, the idea of him actually being traded, like, hey, good for you, Paul, that you got out of here, I maintain, as that guy did too, Limits, is ridiculous. Next.
Here is Greg in Youngstown wants to chime in.
Hello, Greg.
How's it going? You know what's really driving me crazy?
What?
This team's worth how many billions of dollars? This is a trillion-dollar industry, and we can't have a player. I mean, this is not like this is some kind of, you know, mom-and-pop store down the street. What is wrong with this whole picture? There's something going on.
Please continue.
No, can't MLB, everybody's been fooled by this, you know, like we're a small market and, you know, just all the garbage we hear. But you can't be a small market when you're worth billions of dollars. You can't be. You know, this is like having U.S. Steel or a company saying they're small market and they're, you know, a $1 billion industry. We're being led down this road that it's not right. MLB's to blame. I really blame this commissioner and MLB for all of this. And this has to change because
that's why one of the things I started with today was how it was underscored upon the firing of Derek Shelton, the inequities in Major League Baseball. I don't want to hear about it either. I don't want to hear about that. I want him to spend more. I want them to spend more, but I also want them with the money they have spend it better. And that's where Ben Cherington has failed. And I realize the owner is the guy who hired Cherington. But other teams, including this one, have won with similar or even lesser budgets. So I appreciate that.
Okay. Huh? I just don't.
Greg hung up on himself. He got into a twister and hung up on himself.
Pirate fans they've reached the point where they're hanging up on themselves. I mean, this is... Listen, this offseason was an absolute historical disgrace. I've never seen a Pittsburgh team have a worse or more inexcusable offseason than this. And it's coming home to roost every day when you look at the lineup. It's coming home to roost with Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier, maybe with Horwitz. We'll see. They spent more last year, at least in terms of allocating something toward a really good player in Chapman. I would have rather have seen that. Wouldn't you, Limits?
Yeah, me too. I mean, that and you're not talking a lot of money. Like, what did they spend last year? $25 million, and they spread it out between five guys that were all just players that could not play. This year, not even that much money.
where you're talking, if you spend that on one bona fide hitter, a lot of the holes are just covered up.
So, again, the story of the CBA and who's going to champion for the small markets, that's a story for another day. The inequities in Major League Baseball. The story of today is how they didn't go out and build around Paul Skenes, either by virtue of spending a lot of money or spending the little that they spent wisely. That they have epically failed this guy. And I think a lot of people are wondering, will he at some point sound off? All right, let's switch to football. It's Tuesdays with Batgo. Let's talk to Batgo about Aaron Rodgers' apparent nuptials. Is that how you say that? Nuptials?
I'm not even going to touch that one.
Oh, no, it's this happened like 10 years ago on the station. I mistook nuptials for nuptials. That's how you say it, isn't it, Limits? Am I right or wrong?
I have no idea.
I think we would go off the air if we spent a topic on Aaron Rodgers' nuptials, wouldn't we?
Probably, yes. I don't
is
think there'd
nuptials?
Be much chiming in
what
on
is
that.
It? Tell me
no,
which
no.
one it is.
I have no idea.
You don't?
No. I don't have my Malzy thesaurus in front of me, and I'm not going to succumb to Malzy disease on giving you an answer.
I actually commend you for that. So, okay, his nuptials. In other words, I think he's married. Can we ask Batgo about that next?
Yeah, I think we can do that. We saw a ring on his finger at, what, the Kentucky Derby a couple weeks ago, and it seems like it's continuing in photo ops.
Was that the personal issues that he was dealing with? Was it reuniting with his family? There seems to be a couple of things that are happening here.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.